You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Friday reaction to the draft. It's a quick reaction because it is late. It's 2:30 in the morning as I record this, and it's me, John Corrales of the Raining Jays. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you guys the YouTube live that I did with Tom Westerholm, also of MassLive.com, and that serves as our draft analysis, a quick draft analysis. But I will go through first the few things that happened for the night. We'll come back. We'll play the YouTube live, which was about 11 minutes or so, and then we'll wrap up the show. So the Celtics selected Romeo Langford, 14th, Grant Williams, 22nd. They got Carson Edwards with the 33rd pick and Tremont Waters at 51. Now, they had 14, 20, 22 coming into the draft. They traded 20 and they got that went to Philly and they got 24 and 33 in exchange for the 20th pick. They traded the 24th pick and Aaron Baines to Phoenix in return, apparently, for the Memphis, Milwaukee pick in next year's draft. That pick is top six protected. As I said in the YouTube live, there's almost zero chance that that somehow falls into the top six because that would require everything to go wrong for the Milwaukee Bucks, like catastrophically wrong. So the Celtics basically cleared cap space by getting rid of Aaron Baines. And Aaron Baines will get bought out by the Phoenix Suns. And then he will get to join whichever team that he wants. So I assume the Celtics will send some cash because you can. And that'll help Phoenix facilitate the buyout. And then the Celtics, depending on what they do, I can't tell you how much cap space they've cleared because we don't know what's happening with the rest of free agency. They may or may not bring back Terry Rozier. So I don't know right now how much cap space the Celtics will have. They can have 32 plus million in cap space if they want it. That would require renouncing everybody. And signing their two draft picks at from 14th, the Romeo Langford at 14 and Grant Williams at 22nd, at the 22nd pick. Those are guaranteed contracts. Edwards and Waters do not get guaranteed contracts. So if they make the team, great, then they do, but there's no guarantee. So there's no cap hold is basically my point. There's nothing there that says they have to be signed. So there's nothing that's on the cap right now. People ask me why, because Aaron Baines was no longer necessary on this team. Obviously he's useful. We love Aaron Baines. You know, we do the boat. We got to come up with a new thing now. It's no longer Baines's boat. We do a new thing every year anyway, but it's not going to be Baines related. So who knows? So we'll see. But Baines is a veteran guy. He's not going to want to be around for this. I think it was a mutual thing. Baines is like, yeah, I don't think Baines would have re-signed. I don't think he would have opted in if he knew this was going to be the team. So he opted in. Fine, this happened. All right, we'll trade you. Go to Phoenix. They buy him out. Now he can go somewhere else. Maybe he signs somewhere for like part of a mid-level exception or something. So I think that's just a matter of the Celtics trying to clear cap space, doing Aaron Baines a favor, and saying, there you go. The cap space is more important. They can do a lot of things with cap space. They can either sign players. They could make a restricted free agency pitch to somebody. They can take bad contracts back. There's a lot that they can do with that cap space. As far as the draft picks, and you'll hear Tom Westerholm give his analysis a little bit more in the next segment. Romeo Langford comes out of Indiana. There are questions about his jump shooting, but he did have a thumb injury. So, but it's funny that it's a wing that can't shoot. Also, it's funny that Danny Ainge drafts an undersized big, but that's Grant Williams, who is 6'7", but plays with his back to the basket. Again, we'll talk to Tom in a couple minutes there to get his analysis on what he thinks of Grant Williams. But Grant Williams, tough kid, smart kid, highly praised by Brad Stevens in his brief comments at the Celtics practice facility. Carson Edwards in the second round was a projected late first rounder, so getting him in the second round is a good value. Purdue, guard, small guard. So you got the Danny Ainge trifecta: wing who can't shoot, undersized big, and small guard. That's 3 for 3. You win. Bingo. So, but he's a shooter. He can score. He averaged 24 points, ninth in the nation in scoring. So he can fill it up. All of those guys can, and all of those guys got to the line is the most important thing. They all got to the line. Tremont Waters, the 51st overall pick of Louisiana State. Another small guard, really small guard. I don't even think that he's 5'10". So we'll see if he, how much he sticks around. But it's another guard. And loading up on the guards here, I don't know what that means for Terry Rozier. It may mean nothing. I'll talk about that, I guess, in a little bit. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, the YouTube Live, again, that Tom and I did from the practice facility. And then after that, we'll wrap up the show here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. This is the Celtics practice facility, which also serves as their draft headquarters. The NBA draft is going on. We are midway through the second round. The Celtics have made all but one of their picks. So we've got Romeo Langford. We've got Grant Williams. Mm-hmm. And Carson Edwards. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So three picks, a trade, which sent Aaron Baines to Phoenix. Yep. Aaron Baines, 24, to Phoenix, apparently for the Milwaukee Bucks pick that Phoenix owned from the next draft. That's top six protected. If it doesn't convey, for some reason, things have gone horribly wrong for the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Celtics are probably going to get a late round pick next year.
A deep draft.
Aaron Baines is going to get bought out. So thanks for everything, Aaron Baines. So let's start with the picks. You're the draft guy here. So what's your analysis of the two guys that the Celtics got in the first round?
So Langford is an interesting guy. He's very versatile, very smooth type of player. He did not shoot the ball well at all at Indiana. He actually shot 27% from three, which is obviously just a brutal number. But he's going to be a pretty intriguing guy. He had issues with his thumb and that he ended up having to get worked on. He basically had to – somebody's saying hello to Jay, who is not here.
Jay's not here. He's like way down there. But I'll yell to him later. But he had surgery on that thumb.
He had surgery on the thumb. He's had some issues with that. That being said, I think he's going to be a really intriguing piece for the Celtics. I think that he can really score in ways besides just shooting. So, I mean, I think he's the type of guy where if he gets a shot, if he kind of hits, 35, 36% of his threes, he's going to be really tough to stop because he can handle the ball. He can attack seams. He does get to the free throw line a lot, which is something the Celtics really needed last year. So I think there's a path for him to contribute pretty quickly. And I think that especially when you start to look at some of the length in the Celtics lineup with some of this youth, I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, these are guys who are young, who are talented, who are athletic, and who are pretty long. And you throw Langford into that, you know, that's another guy who can do a lot of things, which will be pretty intriguing.
Yeah, and it seems like the Celtics went after guys that can get to the line. All three of their picks were guys that get to the line on a regular basis. After last year, that being a big storyline for the Celtics, they got three guys that, if they all contribute in any way this year, it'll be partly because they can get to that free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, we can have that lead us into the second guy that they took, Grant Williams. He's another guy, like John said, he gets the line. He's a very big, aggressive guy. He plays really hard. Very, very, very smart. I think that's going to be one of the things that really translates in his game. Is, you know, he's got a great IQ. He really knows how to play defense. He knows how to play offense. He really knows how to pass. He's a great passer for a big man. So I think that he's another guy who's he's probably going to be able to contribute immediately. I mean, I think one of the nice things about Grant Williams is that there is just no almost no bust potential. Like that guy is going to be an NBA player for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think his shot is going to eventually translate. He's going to be able to space the floor, and you know, he can post up. He can hit mid-range jumpers. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll. And then defensively, he can guard a lot of different positions, and that's something that Brad talked about.
Yeah, Brad called him a guy with a point guard's mind. Mm-hmm. My question for you now is, with him, is he big enough to do some of the things that he did in college in the pros? 6'7". He plays a lot with the back to the basket, but doesn't have that explosiveness, really.
Right.
Doesn't have that length. Can he still post guys up in the NBA, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to the basket, I mean, that's never been, like, a Celtics, like, focus necessarily, is, like, getting immediately to that. I think that he's strong enough that he'll be able to do some of that, certainly. I think that he'll be able to pin some guys behind him. And, I mean, he's only going to get stronger, I think. I think that it was Sam Vecenie at the Athletic had him as, like the 96th percentile among like all prospects in terms of like strength. It had the facility that he worked out. I mean, this guy is very, very strong, you know, built like a truck. Like he's got some real potential to be a guy who can do a lot of different things, and I do think the strength is going to help him a lot. He's a little bit longer than you might get credit for. I think he's 6'7 with a 6'11 wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. It's not like, you know, he's not Mo Bamba, but he's also, it's not like he's Tyler Hero either.
Right. So it seems like a pretty Danny Ainge draft. You get a wing that can't shoot. You get a big who, you know, there's questions about, you know, can he do the same things in the NBA? And then with the third pick, they get an undersized point guard. Danny Ainge seems to love these undersized point guards and Carson Edwards, but he's an explosive guy. He can score. He can shoot. He can come off the dribble and hit shots. But we know with second-round picks, they're hit or miss. What's your projection for Carson Edwards in the NBA?
Yeah, I think he's gonna be able to contribute as like a guard off the bench. I don't think that you're drafting him thinking like, hey, this is the replacement. This is like the replacement for Kyrie Irving. You're not thinking that. But he has deep three-point range. He can hit it off the dribble. He can hit it out of the pick and roll. You know, he's not necessarily a facilitator. Like, I wouldn't look at him as necessarily a point guard. I would look at him as a scoring guard who can handle the ball. And, you know, maybe you play him. I think there's ways to play him. You play him next to Jaylen Brown. You play him next to, you play him next to Marcus Smart. You play him next to Gordon Hayward. You play him next to guys who can handle the ball, you know, in spurts. They can sort of handle that stuff. So, I think it's a good pick. I think that especially around the early 30s, you're not risking much. I mean, it's not like you're, you know, taking yourself out of contention for somebody else. So get a bench guard, get a guy who can fill it up a little bit. And, I mean, listen, let's see what Brad can do with another undersized, pretty athletic guy who, you know, can get buckets. Like, he's proven that he can do some stuff with guys like that.
So the Celtics also traded one of those picks. Like I said, they made the 14th pick. 20 became 24 and 33. They traded 24, and they kept 22. So 24th pick, Aaron Baines going out. So now cap-wise, I didn't crunch the numbers, but with Aaron Baines going out and then making two picks, they could theoretically, if they renounce everybody, have a max cap slot because – one, having two of the three, all they needed to get rid of was one.
Yeah.
And if they renounce everybody, if that's what they decide to do, they could open up $32 million in cap space. What they do with that, I don't know. I don't think they're going to go get a max free agent, but that cap space.
Kyrie Irving's in
there. I feel like having that cap space is valuable. One of the questions that I was getting on Twitter was, why bother with opening up all this cap space? What are you going to do? Just because you hear max cap slot doesn't mean that they're going to go get a max guy. You can go get, you can make aggressive pitches to restricted free agents. If you like Malcolm Brogdon, that's an option. If you want to get somebody like a Satoransky away from Washington, I mean, that's a guy you can go make an aggressive pitch for and sign him and still have cap space left over. I think one of the things the Celtics can do is be a team that for a year at least takes in a bad contract, an expiring contract, and also picks up an extra draft pick. I know Danny Ainge is getting you know, some grief for accumulating assets and not using them, but he's good at accumulating the assets, and we'll see what he does, and maybe eventually he uses that cap space, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the next swing is Giannis Antetokounmpo in a couple of years. A guy that they'll be rumored for and not get.
Yeah, those rumors are probably coming. We need to answer a couple questions real quick. I think we're kind of waiting right now.
Yeah, let's see.
We got this, do we think Terry is in Boston next year? My best guess would be no. I think that they could use the cap space. Obviously, this is just guessing. My guess would be no for the cap space reasons, and I think that they have, you know, a starting point guard in Marcus Smart. I think personally, I think they would rather probably see what they have there.
You know, and they might have been gone for best player available, but they got a guard, they got another wing, and they have the space. I don't know who else they're gonna maybe target, but my guess is no on Rozier. Let's see. Michael Coffey, I'd like to see them renounce Rozier and sign Julius Randle for a four-year deal. Try to get Holiday from the Pelicans for our own pick. I don't think Jrue Holiday is really in the timeline.
I don't think he's very super available either. Oh, okay, so the Celtics, we have Woj right now saying they're going to select Tremont Waters from LSU. Real quick analysis, just a super solid point guard. He's worked out for the Celtics twice. He was probably the best player on LSU last year, which LSU was not particularly, you know, dangerous, but he can shoot a little bit, he can score a little bit, he can handle. He'll just be kind of like a solid guy in the NBA. And again, kind of continuing on the theme of, I don't know for sure what they're going to do with Rozier, if they're going to bring him back.
Another point guard.
So I mean, we'll see.
Another point guard. Also on the Julius Randle thing, I can get the Julius Randle. I get why people want to try him out. I don't mind trying him out. I'm not ready to give him 4 years. I can see maybe taking a flyer on two. My feeling on Randle is he took advantage of a situation in New Orleans. They were in they had that obvious mess going on with the Anthony Davis trade. He went and got his numbers. I don't think he was playing any real defense. I want to see him do this on a team with structure that where he can prove that he can keep doing this. So Julius Randle, sure, but I'm not doing 4 years for Randle. I'm doing two at the most. And I don't know if that gets him, because somebody might give him more.
That's true. I think there's one real danger in committing all of your long-term money, like your long-term kind of space, a little too early. Like, you know, I think that there's a lot of value in sort of like, see how the season goes,
right?
See what you actually need. You know, maybe you don't need a Randle. Maybe, maybe Williams is your starting four of the future. You know,
there you go.
And maybe you don't go out and sign a center because maybe Robert Williams is a starter. Like, you don't know. And if you go out and throw a ton of money at a guy for the next 4 years, you're locked into that guy. And maybe you're taking minutes away from somebody else who can help.
Yep.
And then 2 years down the line, maybe that space eats into somebody that you would actually like to sign.
So, yep.
We could probably call it, right? That's all the picks are in.
All the picks are in. So Waters is the final pick for the Celtics. Let's see, any other things here? No, that's the Grant Williams people bringing up the Grant Williams, the Earth is not flat video. His mom worked for NASA, right?
I believe his father did. One of his parents.
One of his parents is an actual scientist that can prove that the Earth is actually not flat. All right. Well, I guess
on that note,
let's wrap up this thing here. So the Celtics making four picks, two in the first round, two in the second. No guarantees on the second round picks, but one thing that does happen if they don't stick around with the big club is they can be waived and stashed in the G League if that's something that everybody's agreeable to. But that's a long ways off. All we know is that these guys are all probably going to be playing in Vegas. We're both going to be in Vegas for Summer League, so we'll keep you updated on that. In the meantime, thanks for reading our stuff, masslive.com/Celtics. Tons and tons and tons of stuff on there. So much stuff on there. But we appreciate you doing that. And obviously following us on Twitter, at Tom_NBA, and I'm at Reds_Army_John. Wrapping things up here, a couple of notes. Shams Charania mentioned that the Celtics, in all of their moves, are now preparing for free agency. Nikola Vucevic is one of the guys that they apparently are targeting. I don't know how strongly they're going to be targeting. I don't know that they should be spending a lot of money on Vucevic. I mean, he had a really good year for Orlando, an all-star season for Orlando, and he's obviously a very good player, and bringing in very good players is something that you do when you've got cap space. I don't know that bringing him in is the answer or what the Celtics are looking for. He had the best season of his career, no doubt. 20-12, all-star season, shot better than ever, shot 36% from three, shot 52% overall. That's, you know, best passing season of his career. Obviously, that's a good player. I don't know that the Celtics should spend all of their cap money on him, but they're apparently going to make a run. So we'll see exactly what they spend. I haven't been able to process the whole Vucevic pursuit yet, and Danny Ainge played coy after the draft and wasn't sure. He couldn't say much. He didn't say anything really after the draft. You can't. We all can see the reporting. People can report what their sources say. Danny Ainge is bound by a lot of rules by the NBA. So he can't say certain things, can't talk about specific players who are not his players yet. He can't talk about free agents before you can actually talk to free agents. So on July 1st, he can be like, yeah, you know, Vooch is somebody that I would love to get. Can't say that on June 21st, June 20th. Like, that's just the rules. Those are the rules. So he wasn't going to give us anything. He played coy. He busted balls. And that's what Danny Ainge does. So, but that's the report that the Celtics are interested in Vucevic, and we'll see where that goes. Shams and all, at the end of that, also dropped they're also going to prioritize Terry Rozier. Danny Ainge loves Terry Rozier. I don't know why they're so focused on Terry Rozier. Rick Grosbeck mentioned Terry Rozier afterwards in a conversation with NBC Sports Boston. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Other than I've advocated for starter Terry in the past, maybe him coming back as starter Terry. I did write a piece on Mass Live that said a 2-year deal for Terry Rozier could make sense. Maybe there's something there, and instead of losing Rozier for nothing, you bring Terry Rozier back on a 2-year deal, player option for the second year. He pumps up his value again, and then he becomes tradable. 2-year, $30 million deal or something like that. You sign him for 14, 15, whatever million. You can even pump it up to a $40 million deal, and it would be not maybe not that much, but close to that, you can still start a contract at somewhere like $17 million, tradable contract, and then come the trade deadline, you now have a guy that you can move. So there's something to bringing Rozier back. And there's something to Danny Ainge maximizing the ability to get assets. Danny Ainge good at accumulating assets. I know he gets his balls busted for not spending the assets, but he's good at accumulating them. And there are players that there's always a player to take a swing on, and who knows what he's going to do down the road. That's a different podcast. But if he brings back Terry Rozier, I would say it probably would be best if it was on a short-term deal that makes him tradable, and then you see what you can do. I hope it's not like a 4 or 5 year deal, but Danny Ainge, like you see, loves Terry Rozier. I mean, he's a big Terry Rozier fan, so who knows what that's going to bring. I'm sorry if I ruined your weekend, but that's what's happening. Thanks for listening. I know it's a short one, a quick one, but really appreciate you listening to the podcast, subscribing wherever podcasts exist, Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya. It's all there, or you can get into your car, tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Celtics. And all of you who have already subscribed, if there is a place to give us a 5-star rating, if there is a place to give us a written review, please do so. Give us a good one. Very much appreciated, because that's how people find their podcast and decide whether they want to subscribe or at least give us a test drive. So that helps us out a lot. Very much appreciated. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.